Hallelujah. Interesting that it's Mother's Day. You know, I believe that what a woman carries, if you like, the mother, if you like, comes out of the very heart of God. When Adam was created, initially, the woman was in the man. And to reflect the very image of God, you've actually got to see the woman as well. You've actually got to see the mother. They've got to see that caring heart in the mother, because, you know, if you get a hold of that and you start to understand how a woman cares for a child, it gives us a wonderful picture of how God actually cares for us. It's far bigger than that, because we can't love to the extent of what he does, but you can start to understand something of this incredible love that God has for us. Isn't that right? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Do you know, down through the years, God brings revelation to various people and churches. And sadly, not everybody accepts it. And another denomination springs up. Isn't that right? You know, as God moves on, some want to move on and some don't. And another group is formed, and usually it's camped around a certain revelation. It might be healing. It might be an outpouring of, you know, tremendous healing. It might be a revelation of, you know, water baptism, full immersion. You know, and when that came, I mean, people were alienated, so they got to form their own group. But God's continuing to bring revelation. I believe the outpouring of Toronto, I mean, was intended to express something of the very heart of God, of how much he loves people. How much he cares for people. That's become known as the Father heart of God. But you know, within that, there's the mother heart of God, as I said, because you can't separate them. But we do refer to God as Father. But he's actually like a mother as well in his caring for people. And so I personally think that we've actually connected well over the years in starting to understand the Father heart of God, the importance of forgiving. God's shown us that over the last 20 or 25 years. And we're well versed in it. But when I spoke, I don't know, maybe a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I can't remember. I spoke about knowing and believing. We've known and believed the love that God has for us. But the problem is, we are not well versed in the understanding of faith. Faith. When it says known and believed, we've known through a revelation, through the teaching that's come here. But I went on to say, do we really, really believe it? And that's where faith comes in. That's where we need to get a handle on the understanding of the fact that we can know it in our head. John 3:16, we can probably come up with all the verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, God loved this world, you and me, to that extent that he gave his only begotten son. And you know, that revelation we've had in a theological understanding, but where it actually gets down in here and changes our lives, and it affects us on a daily basis, there has to be sometimes, especially when there are challenges, when there are difficulties in our lives, there has to be a holding on to that by faith. Because all the circumstances around you might tell you otherwise. The circumstances that are going on, your job situation, your health situation, it may shout otherwise. And so what I wanted to talk to you this morning is about faith. Now the problem is with faith is, you know, in some areas, it's actually been made out to be like a dirty word. But if you go through the scriptures, you'll find that God has a lot to say about faith. And what is faith? If you sit down and analyze it, it's a confidence in God and a confidence in what he says. Like I just said, if you've got headaches for 3 weeks and you look at 1 John 4:16 and it says in there that we've known and believed the love, man, sometimes, you know, we think, does he? And he lets this headache go on. You know, he's letting this headache go on. He never intended you to have that headache. And so sometimes we have to take hold of some of the whole of it within the Bible as an understanding by faith, that we believe it. When we put our eyes on it, we believe it. We ain't got time this morning to go through it, but I presume you're all familiar with the story of David and Goliath. Now, David and Goliath is a story that's often taught in Sunday school. And so most of us probably would be well-versed and understanding the story. But many of us, throughout our lives, finish up with challenges like David had. And I personally think that David got into an argument, or he finished up getting some horrible feedback from his brother because of the fact that he's saying, you know, can't somebody deal with this big bloke? Can't somebody deal with, you know, this strong man? And when David went out to fight Goliath, what did he go out with? He certainly didn't go out with, can you take this, darling? Because there's just a small lip on the bottom of there. And otherwise the Bible slides off. So here he is. Let's just pray, shall we? Just let's pray that we get a handle on this and we understand it. It's very important. Father, we just pray, Lord, that you will bless this word and you will make it go forth with your intention. And Lord, may it illuminate only what you want to say to us. Only what you want to say to us. in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. I was once in a meeting in America where this lady stands up to speak. And she says, you're not ready to receive it. Sometimes there can be a place to receive it. That's why I stopped to pray. There's a place to receive the word. And she had everybody pray in tongues for 45 minutes. 45 minutes. And then she says, right, you're ready to receive it. And she shared the word. It might be to do with the fact that, you know, what's happened during the week with everybody and things like that. You might have had to contend with snow. You might have had to contend with this, that, and the other, children ill and things like that. And when we come to church, we're bringing that with us. Not that it's wrong to do that, because that's what's happened to us, but there can be a place where that can hinder receiving what God has got to say to us. So here was David running out to fight Goliath. He's put himself in that place. Well, you know, this uncircumcised Philistine, you know, how can he defy the armies of the living God? In other words, what is he saying? He's saying that he sees his God bigger than any giant like that. So whatever problems we face, or whatever challenges, sometimes it's how big we see our God inside us. We're talking about a big God. We've had 25 years of learning about a loving God. But this God is also not just a loving God. He's very, very powerful, and he is very, very big. And he lives inside you and me. If you are born again and you've come into a relationship with him and you've been filled with his Holy Spirit, hey, as I said the last time I spoke, I don't know how, but you and me have got the fullness of God, not a bit of him. You've got the fullness of Almighty God dwelling in you. So not only can he deal with yours and my Goliaths, not only can he deal with those, when you go to work, or you go to school, or you go meet your relatives that don't know Jesus, you're taking the fullness of God with you. Is that right? The fullness. This person that can fill the universe, that can fill everything in creation and beyond, whatever there is beyond that, he can fill it. Somehow, you and me, we have that fullness within us. And I believe that David, although in those days God had not come to reside within people, they had an understanding of relationship with God that they knew, well, David knew anyway. Abraham knew. You know, people did get a handle on this God is big. This God, how big's your God in your thinking? How big is my God inside me? Sometimes we need to get this revelation of not just that he's loving, but he's big. And he is powerful. And he can slay a Goliath. We're talking about David, who believed this about his God, who hadn't come to reside inside men and women yet. That That was before that. But now he's come to reside within us as this big God. When we say Almighty, man, he's Almighty. And he can change things. He can change situations. And we need to realize that he is big and he wants to do big things. Amen? When the Bible talks about healing, it talks about it that it's the children's bread. It's meant to be normal Christian life that we see healings in our families, amongst our friends, and particularly in church. Turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. It's just after Hebrews. James chapter 2 and verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? You know, I'm telling you this because I believe God is stirring me up again. He's stirring me up. He wants me to not accept certain things that I've accepted in my life. That he can do bigger than what I ever imagined. And we don't often go about thinking that. We don't go around thinking he can do bigger than what we can imagine. I mean, I remember years ago, and he's saying to me, well, why ain't it happening now? I used to get people out to watch legs grow. Anybody want to watch it grow? Come on out, or what have you. And I used to go take prophetic words to people, just, I ain't got one, but I believe by the time I get there, I will have one. You know, and it's because of the fact that you put your confidence in who's in you. And that he's big and he loves you. And he's got great things for you and for the people around you. What I'm wanting to do is raise our level of expectation of God. That he does want to break in. Do you know, John Wimber's an inspiration to me. Did he preach, was it 73 or 76 times on healing and never saw healing? You know, how many people that have, you know, gone past 4 or 5 and then built a doctrine around it and said, well, God doesn't always heal and what have you. Do you know, and maybe, you know, sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. Or it died out, you know, when the apostles died or something like that, and create these crazy theologies, because this is God's word. And he's looking for people that will believe it and believe that what he says he wants to do, he will do. I remember preaching back in the 80s and saying to people that with this Bible, you know, it's a bit like Winston Churchill setting out a plan of how he's going to win World War II, writing it all out and posting it to Hitler. Because he's put it out there for everybody to see. The devil can see it. His enemy can see it. No matter who it is can see it. He's going to do what he says he'll do. And he's looking for people that say, I want to be a part of it. I'm hungry for more of you, and I want to be a part of it. I don't want to be left behind when it comes. You know, sometimes when I had a ministry fund, I mean, with some money given into it and what have you, you could just go where you wanted. And when I heard that revival had come, you know, in certain places, I'd just get on a plane and go have a look and see what was happening. Because when revival comes, you know, I don't want to be one that's left behind. I want to be right in there. I want to see God doing powerful things. I want to see the time when church sees healing as the children's bread. Amen. What is your bread? It's your daily thing that you accept. It's the daily thing that you require. Isn't that right? And God is wanting us to realize that that's where he wants us to go. Where we see that on a regular basis, all the time, just like your bread. It's normal life. Normal life. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They will recover. And he's looking for people that will believe it and run with it. Now, with David, he was mixing with the people there. And I think we have got that situation today whereby David had actually fed on the word of God. He'd been out there looking after the sheep. And a little fella, you know, I don't know what the big fellas were doing and what have you. You know, when the lions are coming along and the bears coming along. But, you know, they sent the little fella out there to look after the sheep. But there's potentially bears might come, there's lions might come and what have you. Well, give the kid it to look after. Let him look after the sheep. But there was something about David that believed in the covenant of God. And this Bible is made up of two covenants. And in Hebrews chapter 6, it actually tells us that this covenant that we now live in, where God is not speaking to someone outside, around them, with them, you can tell by David's writings that he knew God with him, but now he's come to reside within us. And we're in a more superior covenant than what they had. This is made up of two covenants. Testament is a covenant. But this covenant is not sealed with a signature. It's sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, if somebody were to we could get a lawyer to draw up an agreement, okay, between two people, and then you'd put the signatures to it to agree it, okay? The signature that you've got on your covenant with Almighty God is written in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what it's sealed with. It's not sealed with a signature that a man would put in place. It's sealed with the blood of Jesus. We're coming up to Easter, and in 2 weeks' time, I intended to talk about, in preparation for looking at Easter, the cost of the cross. What it cost Jesus to go through that cross, go through that horrible, protracted death because of his love for us, but also the fact that we put our faith in that he took care of everything on that cross that we would need both now and in eternity, in body, soul, and spirit. Whatever we needed, he covered and actually paid the price for it on that cross. Is that right? That's right, isn't it? That he died on that cross for us. What I'm trying to do by this morning is turn your eyes to the fact that this loving God wants us to believe with our hearts, not just with our head, that this covenant, this Bible is from him, and he means what he says to you and me. So in other words, when we go back to 1 John 4:16 and say we know the love, because we know it in our heads. We know it in our heads. Most of us in this room probably could reel off some scriptures about how much he loves us. It's everlasting. It's unfailing. We know it. But what he wants is us to know it in our hearts, that we believe it when things are tough. And we believe it when we set something up to pray for the sick. And when we face mountains, when we face giants, when we face physical situations, we start to say, I put my trust in him. I believe him. I believe him. I believe what he says. I believe that when it says, and it's repeated, is Isaiah 53, when it talks about, by his stripes we were healed. It's repeated then in the New Testament. Why does he repeat it? Because it's important. If he just says it again, it's got a real importance of it. And then he says it again, it's got an even major importance. That he wants you to know that healing is for you. Healing is for your children. Healing is the children's bread. God, we ain't got time to go into it now, but in the Gospels it talks about the fact that when people were healed, God was glorified. It brought glory to his name. Do you not think the Father wants to glorify Jesus after what he went through? He wants healing more than what you and I do. He's desperate that his son will get the glory that he deserves. He's desperate that people will have what's bought and paid for at Calvary. That's why he wants more people coming into the kingdom of God. He wants to see more people saved. His son gets glorified. His son paid the price for it. Isn't that right? So let's raise this level of expectation that not just the Father's coming to love on us, but he's actually coming to bless us. And he's coming to heal people. He's coming to set the captives free. Mark 16 did not finish years ago when he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Cleanse the lepers. I haven't got the exact wordings, but you know, blind eyes will open. The lame are going to walk. It's for today, folks. It's for now, and Jesus has paid the price for it. He's paid the price for it. I mean, I have seen, when I've gone ministering, mostly overseas than I have in Britain, but I have seen some big healings. I've told you before, I think, about the lady in Brazil. She'd been in a road accident. Operation went wrong. For 2 years, she's living in pain and the hospital can't do anything for her. But Almighty God could. She came in on crutches and people helping her like this and what have you. And when I prayed for her, she ran up and down and she was swinging these crutches above her head. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus gets glorified in that. I couldn't heal a fly. He did it. He did it. I can't do it. But you and I can make ourselves available. Whether it be our friends, our relatives, our loved ones, we make ourselves available and just be that channel and believe him. And I've seen things like that. Once when I was in Ukraine, I saw this man. It was funny how it came about, because I was going just tagging on with somebody else who was ministering. And we flew into Ukraine and we traveled all day long on rough roads and everything. And we get to this large town, probably as big as Weston-super-Mare population-wise. I worked it out. And we get there and they've hired this hall and that for a meeting, and worship bands playing and what have you, and everybody's having a good time. And this fella I'd tagged on with, he leaned behind the pastor and he said to me, "I forgot to tell you that God told me that you'd preach tonight." So I got up there and I just read a few scriptures as regards healing and what have you, and prayed for the sick. And there was a bloke in there, I mean, he couldn't walk very well. He got a foot, I mean, that more or less lost its use. He lifted it up and it just flopped around. And then he's running up and down and he was healed. You know, so God has blessed me with, you know, the opportunity to see these sort of things. But he wants to take us up another level. It's for now. It's for today. It's for you and me. It's for the people out there. Yeah. Amen? But we have to believe it. Do you know, in that camp, when David got there, they'd set up camp, maybe, you know, like churches and what have you, they set up and what have you, they're doing everything right. They've got military organization, okay? And David comes down. And I think what he's speaking is very much like where churches worldwide today. I believe it's there. I believe it's struggling with, we can't do this, we're limited with this. We're limited with that. We haven't got the right resources, things like that. And David comes along and he actually caused a bit of a problem for him because he believed in the covenant with his maker. He believed that what God said, and he'd studied it, I believe, while he were out there with the sheep, spent time understanding the very heart of God. And when he took that armor off, you know, to us in our natural mind, we think it's crazy. Because he throws one of them javelins at him. I mean, you know, he's got no chance. I mean, you know, without the armor. The javelins were probably that big. I mean, they'd probably go through your armor. But, you know, and he says, no. And I believe that David did not take his focus off his understanding that his God, his friend, his companion that he'd come to know whilst he's having to take sheep out of the mouth of a lion or a bear. Whilst he's doing that, he learns about his God, that he knows that there's no problem with this Goliath. He taught him at God that there was no problem with the Goliath. Now, when we take communion this morning, we have to understand that wine, that is symbolic of Jesus' blood that we said was the signature, if you like, or the sealing of that covenant with you, between you and me. It sealed it, just like the signature seals it. It's God saying, I'm committed to these people. I'm committed to this person. I will love you. He sealed it in the blood of Jesus. I will love you with a love that will last forever. I will love you with a love that will never fail. No matter whether you're in hospital next week, no matter what happens to you, whether you're thrown out of your job next week, no matter what, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He would have to go against the blood that was shed for him to go against that. Because isn't that right? That's his signature. He sealed it with that. He would go against that. Even in the Old Testament, God had all these different names. And they were names of which he wanted to be known. You know, like, I am your healer. He wanted them to know him as that. I am your provider. Excuse me. That's what he wanted them to know. That's why he gave a name for each one. And David had a revelation how he couldn't have taken Goliath on. And when the church starts to believe, when we start to believe in this love, believe in this God that has so much compassion, time after time it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion. Sometimes when I've been praying with prayer queues and things like that in different parts of the world, just compassion comes over me. Compassion, it takes me to another level sometime. And it enables you to keep going even if the queue's big. I remember when we were in France, I used to do some seminars in the afternoon, and you might get 40 odd people to pray for, and everybody scarpered for tea. And there's 40-odd people and what have you, and when compassion rises in your heart, you can keep going. It's supernatural, but it's what God puts in you to keep going and to press in. Amen? Amen. So what we're going to do is, there's so much more I wanted to go through. Yeah, bless you, Lord. For those who are taking notes, in Mark 9:23, it says, everything is possible for him who has a big income. No, it doesn't. It says, everything is possible for him that believes. For him and her that believes. If you believe. You know, and I heard somebody say recently that when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, you know, Miriam's got the tambourines out and away they went to party and to celebrate and worship and sing and thank God. And they never did it after that. You know, when the quail came in, they didn't do it. When the manna came in, they didn't do it. You can't have a thankful heart and be grumbling and complaining as well. And that is part of this understanding as the revelation gets to the heart. Sometimes you actually just sing and praise God in faith, or out of obedience, out of gratitude, not by how you feel. And your body can actually, or your mind, or your emotions can catch up later. Because sometimes you can be in situations where you don't feel like praising God. But you do it because you know that it's right. And your emotions catch up later. Isn't that right? I think Kenneth Hagin used to say something like that, didn't he? I'm okay, I'm doing right, my body will catch up in time, or something like that. But, you know, because of the fact that, just like when they were in the prison in Acts, they start to praise God and they start to worship him. You know, those prisons, you know, they weren't like prisons today. There wouldn't be a TV in there. There wouldn't even be lights on. You know, there'd be rats running about and licking the wounds on your back and things like that where they'd rip the flesh off. And he steps in, they step into this praise and this worship. Thankfulness can just rise up inside you, thanking him for his mercies that are new every morning. I mean, one thing alone that we can think of, the fact that we've got this salvation, this wonderful salvation. So, thankfulness can be an action, a faith, and a confidence in our God. Amen.